podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Autumn night, hazy light, band of brothers playing tunes high as kites. Midnight waves, surfing through till daylight breaks. Rhythm hit us different ways, love and music's how we prayed. With our tongues in cheek, banter's how we like to speak. And yeah, times change, but no matter what, the bond remains. Brothers.
Hello and welcome to Lads Anonymous, a podcast where two best mates of over 20 years invite you to join their safe space where all manner of subjects will be discussed. Every conceivable topic is fair game. We'll focus on a specific subject first to chew the fat over, climaxing, I fucking love that word, climaxing with the most clandestine questions, pressing dilemmas or thirst for advice, all handled with anonymity. I can't even say the word now.
Anonymity.
Say the word to me. Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much.
But hang on, people know who we are. How is it anonymous?
No, the people that send in the stuff, we won't mention their names because we're gentlemen.
Is it kind of
lads.
Like anonymous opinion and fesshole, that kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the and like Reddit as well. Those it's like a blend. So we do our stuff, and then we welcome everyone into the circle.
Can I start? Can I start us off then? Can I be so bold as to start us off with something I noticed recently?
Yeah, go for it.
Do you know Adele? She lost like she's great, right? She can sing. She's really good. Yeah.
She's amazing.
And then you know she's quite followed by people who and ladies who are plus sized and beautiful with it Rick.
Yeah.
But like that section of her support base, that section of her fans were fuming with her when she lost weight. Like they were well angry with her because she went away in private. Like disappeared for 8 months, come back, she'd lost all the weight and she looked like a completely different woman. And they were fuming with her. Like, how could you do that?
so like all supporting her with, you know, plus size.
Yeah, but they don't want to listen to her music anymore because she lost all the weight.
Because she didn't tell them that's what she was doing.
She'd done it in secret.
They're just standing there. What are we meant to do with this now?
What are we doing now?
Look like idiots.
We look like idiots. They're like, this is out of order. You should have included us in this because we're ruined now, isn't it?
Send out the newsletter. Why didn't you mention it in the newsletter? You told us to talk about this. Tell us this.
Rick, all the good advice you get from life coaches is go out, do it in silence. Do it in the dark, and then when you're ready, unleash yourself on the public or unleash yourself on a project. So she's done that. She's taken all the good advice, and all of her fans that are carrying a bit of timber are furious with her. How could you do this? We were in this together. Well, funny.
I would be as well. I should mention that who we are, basically. So my name is Ricky, and I'm going to be the host of Lads Anonymous, and I'm joined by that said best mate,
yeah,
Flav. And before I want to, if you've just stumbled across this podcast and you don't know who we are, so Flav and I have been best mates over 20 years, but more importantly, we do a podcast. Well, Flav has a podcast called The Fighting Cock.
It's our podcast. We've been doing it for many years.
Well, it is yours, but I'm part of it. We've been going for 13 years and has a Patreon. He also does another podcast called James and Flav for Now.
Yeah.
He's got podcasts coming out of his ass. He's also also regularly on Sky Sports on Saturday morning.
People know
Is it called Saturday Social? Is that what it's called?
Saturday Social, yeah. What?
Why are you bringing it up? No, but I need to just...
Boost it up.
You know. Yeah. But not boost it up. Just lay the land, really.
He's on Saturday Social, so let's better listen to this then, is it?
No, I'm just introducing you as a famous podcast.
Fuck off.
Would you say, in your job, if you have to, you know, you're filling out a job application or any application,
yeah,
and it says occupation, what do you write?
Well, I write director because That's the answer. I write director because that's the I'm the sole director of the Fighting Cock. I mean, sorry, TFC Productions Limited. But that doesn't mean I direct anybody. I'm just on my own in my room recording podcasts. You know, that's tugging one out.
Good.
The best thing about having your own office is you can tug one out whenever you want. Like, I close the door and no one can come in because there's a lock, and I can put the blinds down there. I can't. I've been in this office 18 months. I can't tell you the amount of times I've not went out in here.
Really?
Yeah, mate. Loads.
To be fair, if I have my own office, I've got my own working from home office, but it's more of a kind of what you can see is it looks like a normal room, but over that side, there's all my fishing gear. There's just boxes everywhere, and I don't think I could get horned up with everything that's around me. I need candles lit, some like a good music, like Lionel Richie playing.
Yeah.
I couldn't ever do that. But
sorry.
No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, that's what I do anyway.
At the top of the show, mentioned that we're gonna pick a main topic.
What's the topic this week?
Should we jump straight into it?
Go on, what is it?
Today's topic is Friends. That's right, Friend. Not the TV show. Although I've been rewatching that recently, and it is quite good, you know.
No, it's wicked. Friends was amazing. Like for years and years, consistently excellent. It was like 30 minutes. You didn't have to think. It was hilarious. Like it's great. Like anyone who sort of says Friends is a shit is like fucking dickhead, don't they? They're just saying it to be performative. It's beneath me. Well, you can get in the bin. I don't want to talk to you. You're beneath me. Like literally, have you got anything to say to someone who looks down on someone because they enjoy Friends?
I very much enjoy it. It's a great show.
I can't stand it, Rick, if anyone has a different opinion of me than in music, film and TV shows. Like it's all subjective, but if anyone has a different opinion than mine, I genuinely hate them for that moment. Like anyone who criticizes Radiohead, I hate them, genuinely hate them. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's because I shouldn't care.
When I used to criticise Radiohead,
just thought you was a dickhead.
Well, yeah, that's well. I mean, that is true, right? In the Oxford Dictionary, right? This is what friends is apparently, or friend.
Yeah.
A person with whom one has developed a close and informal relationship of mutual trust and intimacy. Brackets. More generally, a close acquaintance. Often with adjective indicating the closeness of the relationship, such as best, good, close, etc. I mean, for me, a mate or like best mate, it's just someone that you can tell stuff to and they're not going to be a blabbermouth or enjoy your demise or bad news or not be happy for your good news.
It's funny you say that. Like, just as you were saying that, so like in terms of sharing good news or bad news, that someone's not going to blab about their bad news. I generally consider Alex from Bristol, obviously, in my close circle of friends.
Yeah.
But I'm always ready to share his bad news. It's so funny. Like the shit I've shared about him, you shouldn't. And I know it's bad. Like that time he got things happened to him and you just thought, I shouldn't enjoy this as much as I am. Like there's one I quite regret. Actually, I shouldn't say. I'm doing it again.
Yeah, see?
But I wouldn't share anything that you would say, Rick.
The good. Yeah, you fucking better not do either.
You would know, wouldn't you? You would know.
I don't know. I might not know.
You'd know. I haven't. You haven't. But you hadn't gone through what he had with the landlady when he was 16, see? If you had, might have had to share that. Because it's too juicy.
So it's only stuff if it's really bad stuff, like health wise, and like don't share. But if it's juicy, if it's spicy stuff,
yeah, that is the best.
You're doing the world a service.
Do you know, this is really? I'm such a bad friend that when he told me that, I was one of only two people in the world that knew about that. Now everyone knows.
Oh God.
Yeah.
So this is quite topical about friends and what what a friend is. Maybe if he listens to this, which I don't think he will.
But we do. He does consider me a friend, and I consider him a friend.
Yeah, good friend.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd do anything for Alex.
Yeah.
Apart from not share his personal stories. I generally would, though. I would do anything for him.
I'm going to take it back to how we first met. The beginning, the groundwork of where our relationship began. So at this time, you will know this very much. So we'd first met each other on a football forum. We don't need to say the name of that said football forum.
Why?
Because I don't want people searching, trying to dig up the conversations we had as fucking teenagers, because it's just awful. And then we used to chat on MSN as well. Do you remember MSN?
Yeah, of course. I remember MSN. My favorite thing about MSN, for those, most people know, everyone listening to this will know about MSN and what it, how massive it was for people of our age back then, Rick. But my favorite thing was we would stay in contact quite a lot every day, because you lived with your, do you remember living with your dad?
Yeah. So when we were chatting first, I was back in, I would have been back in Milton Keynes then, I think. And then
he was in Milton Keynes.
In Milton Keynes. And then I did my college course.
Yeah.
National Diploma in Media Studies, which is, you know, set me in great stead.
Nailed that one, did you?
Yeah, I did. I got a distinction in it. So, really? Like, triple distinction.
Was this the course you did when...
I know what you're going to say.
Do you?
Go on.
Because I found the videotape, didn't I? Was this the course where you had to remake the Streets video? What was the song?
That's exactly it. So we had to recreate a music video. And because I love the Streets, I decided to recreate It's Too Late.
It's too late, it's too late. And if I ever needed you, would you be there? So Rick, for some reason, kept the VHS. Have you still got it?
It must be somewhere. It must be somewhere. It was a little disc, CD.
Oh, it was a CD disc, little CD dog.
Yeah.
So this was amazing. So I'm moving forward with the story, but there was a scenario where me and Rick were baked in his room. And I don't know how it came to. Maybe I was looking through his shit in his room and I found a CD that said Media Projects, The Streets, It's Too Late. And we whacked it in his DVD player and watched it. And it was the best thing I've ever seen. And he showed me and then never showed me again. And for the last 15 years of our relationship, I've been desperate to see this thing again. And you won't show it to me.
No, I can't.
Surely you're at an age now that you could show it to me again.
Yeah, I could, but I don't physically want to look at it. I don't want to hear it. Like, honestly, one of those things where it's just
When you listen to The Streets, are you taken back to that video when you listen to that song?
I don't listen to that song. Don't listen to that song. It's not even in my playlist or anything. Only Street song that is not in my playlist.
This is the name of this podcast. It's Too Late. I really, really want to see it again, Rick. If I was terminally ill, would you show it to me?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I am, Rick. I am. You can now send it to me.
I would never send it. I might have it on me and play it.
Yeah, please, man. I need to see it again. There was one bit where you were running in slow motion.
Yeah,
and then
I know.
You do a jump down some stairs, if I remember rightly.
No, that's a second one, which I was hoping you didn't remember, but we had to recreate an opening scene from a film, and I did Trainspotting.
Trainspotting, that was it. That was amazing.
Fuck, why do you remember this stuff?
I don't know, because I've got a bad memory, but the stuff like greatness, you can't. And that was a great period of our lives, that was, Rick.
Yeah, it was.
Just to go back to MSN, so you would
go on.
We would talk, but what I was fascinated every time we'd speak would be what was going on, because you was living at your dad's house doing your media degree.
Yeah, so I'd done the media degree, and afterwards I had I had always had this longing to move to London. I don't know what it was, the pull of the big city. I always wanted to move there. And at that time, I was around like 23, and a lot of my mates were in like long-term relationships, either married, having kids on the way, houses. And although like I'm still obviously really good mates with them, but there was just something missing in my life that I just wasn't getting. Like I just felt stuck. And then we were chatting over MSN, meeting up at the football on this fans forum. And then I wanted to move to London. So I got a runner's job at a production company, and I was living at my dad's for 3 months until I got kicked out. And that's when we would chat on MSN there as well. And it was fucking awkward because the computer, the main computer. I know, exactly.
The main tower computer in their houses, didn't they?
The main tower computer was in the front room. So they're watching TV and I'm like talking to you on MSN. Like, it's just...
It was amazing. Because you was like, how old were you? You would have been early 20s?
Yeah, 23. Yeah, 23.
23. So you're in your dad's flat and he's married to a lady who...
He is.
Yeah. And I loved her. I never met her, but I loved her. And she would, I can imagine you sitting at the tower computer, the main computer in the house, and just boring. Is she in the background? Is she? I can't really do this story justice without. Doesn't matter. But that was an interesting story. But then you was like, well, it was interesting, weren't it, Rick? Because I was like, all right, well, you want to get out of that place. You want to come to London. Just come live with us. Me and my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah, so I was kicked out of my dad's. It wasn't like a kicked out because I'd been naughty. Apparently, my dad's partner, niece, was supposed to be moving in with them. And I was just like, I could move in as a stopgap. That was the story they told me.
And did she ever move in?
No, she didn't. Of course she didn't. They just wanted me out, man. And at that time... My mum came to pick me up and she was obviously distraught for me. And we had agreed, we chatted, and you said, why don't you come and stay at my house with my missus at the time?
Yeah.
And we'll take it from there. And like, it's like thinking back to it, it's so fucking weird that I moved into your house. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, we didn't know each other. We'd met a few times. No. We'd been out in London a few times. You had stayed over. It weren't like we hadn't met.
Yeah, no, exactly. But it wasn't like childhood mates or knew you from uni or anything like that. And it was all kind of that internet phase. And my mum, when she came and picked me up and we were chatting in the car, and she knew that me going to you and to your house and being with... you and your partner at the time, that'd be good for me. And she said to me, like, if you come back to Milton Keynes now, after this 3 month time in London, you'll never get back to London. It breaks my heart that you're feeling this low and that you've been kicked out of your dad's. But you know, Flav will look after you. and
I wasn't aware of any of this, Rick.
Were you not?
No, in my head, I was just like, yeah, just come stay with us. See what happens.
No, it was, and I remember her pulling away, like with all my possessions, then like transferred to your house.
I remember her being upset at that time, but in my head, I was completely unaware that this was significant for you. In my head, I was just like, yeah, just come and stay at ours for a bit. Get on your feet, get a job, find a place to live, and let's just see what happens. I didn't think, oh, I'm offering Ricky a way out here. I didn't think of any of that. I just thought, let's turn up, let's get stoned and watch telly and that. That's what I thought was going to happen. This is great. I didn't know that this was a seismic thing in your life till now.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was hugely, because at the time I was sitting there thinking, because I was on your pull-out sofa bed, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, I have no job. I have no home, and I'm in London, like with my internet friend. Like, it's fucking mad. Like, I like homeless and jobless and just being in London. Thinking back to it now, it's like fucking wow. That's a kind of
yeah. But I didn't go to bed that night thinking, Ricky must be stressed out at this moment. I just went to bed and thought, this is cool. Ricky's gonna be there in the morning.
You went to bed high as fuck.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Mate, I was completely unaware of that. I didn't realise, even to this, I mean, it makes complete sense now that you said it. But at the time, it was just like, this is going to be fun.
It was. And like, I was, it was fucking, it was a huge thing for me. But it all worked out for the fucking best. Like, there was, I mean, I've said this to you many a time, but again, with, it was just kind of like, this sounds like, you know, blowing smoke up one's ass and all that lot. And I don't really, it's hard to talk about without sounding like a dick. Living and in Milton Keynes, all we did, you know, Wetherspoons, Yates's, get pissed, get fucked up, go to work. There was 4-5 main companies in Milton Keynes at that time, and everybody worked there. Everybody knew each other's business. We're all living in each other and in each other's pockets. So I just needed to get out. And I always thought that you obviously have to be a certain way, look a certain way, feel a certain way. But then when I met you and we used to go out and get belted, but then your house was full of like classic literature and art. And I was like, I was just amazed that I just thought it was like nerds are into books and art and stuff like that. And then they weren't geezers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I don't know what you mean, because where we grew up and what I grew up around, that was normal. That is normal. Like, my dad read and my mum read, and she made me into that stuff, and it made sense to do the. I wasn't aware that you was looking around the house feeling this way.
Yeah, I mean, it was like we were sitting there chatting one day, and you was like, "Oh, do you read?" And I said, "Like, I enjoy reading." And you were like, "Read this book; it will change everything for you."
What book was that?
You know what book you gave me?
Was it? I feel like I've had this conversation. 1984.
Yeah, it was.
Mate, what
it was.
Book? What a book.
And it was at that time where I was going through huge changes in my life. Obviously, coming away from Milton Keynes, everything that I've ever known, not having a job, being with you, and all these different kind of things about my life that I realised that I could do that I didn't think I could. And then reading 1984 changed my life. Then I was just reading books, flying through them. But yet we were still having this amazing time, and in those like 7 years that I was in London, not living with you for 7 years, because that'd be fucking mental.
You was actually only with us, it felt like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks or something.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
And then I found a room three roads away from you.
So Terrace.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, you, but what else were you gonna do? You found it, but it was a great place to live though. There, the Crouch End was an incredible place to live, and we were moving into a time of our lives where, all right, we weren't wealthy, we didn't have any money at all, right? We were all fucking skint, but we managed to find enough money for the weekend.
Yeah,
and that's what I think. That was why it was the best thing, right? Because we had no commitments, no children. Just had, we had each other and 100 quid in our pockets.
Exactly. And there was a time that, you know, like I was saying that my mum was like dropping me off, tears in her eyes, like my baby boy, I don't know what's going to happen to him, but he's just gone through a traumatic time. And I was like, is this the right thing? Moving in with my internet friend. and then we went out and we got belted and we came back, I don't know if you remember this, and we were hungry and you cooked us veggie burgers.
Yeah, I do remember it. Yeah, it was the first time we went out.
Yeah, and
come back
at
and
that time...
veggie burgers.
At that time, I had, again, no job, no money, no house, but we'd been to the pub, we'd been pissing ourselves laughing all day, and then had these veggie burgers, and I I remember feeling that moment of contentness and happiness and joy, even though I didn't have anything. I had a fucking veggie burger. That's what I had. And I was feeling so much joy. And that's when I knew, I was like, this is the guy. This is where I need to be.
We I don't know how interesting this is for people to listen to, but whenever I spoke to you, I was laughing. And to this day, it remains the same. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's what it was. It was good.
It was. And then obviously there was, throughout those years, it was very a heady experience, quite chaotic at times, with everything involved, like drinks, drugs, music, football. It was just an absolute amazing time.
I want to go back and do it again.
For me. Oh, mate, I think about it all the time. Just the things, there's just things that pop up in my mind that that just make me laugh. The pickles we got ourselves into and just different things like that. But like, what I do want to ask you about is, when I arrived on the scene, I didn't really meet any of your mates. There was Ginger Dave.
Yeah,
Boring Dave and Fred. And I only met them like once or twice.
you didn't like Dave because he was like, I don't
intellectual.
Know. Yeah, and that's, you saw him as a threat, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I didn't really have any friends. I didn't. I had Fred from university, Ginger Dave from university, and they were mates, as it turns out. They were, you know, you have shared experiences with people, don't you? And you spend the time in your life with them, and you have a common goal with that in that moment. So if you was at university, that would be getting pissed and getting through your degree, and you're living far away from home. So you attach yourself to people because they're in the same situation as you, but you're not friends, right? You consider yourself friends, but as time plays out, you realize that you weren't, right? You were people that you had a common goal with, right? And it's just the way it is. And you'll go through life picking up these people and then putting them down, and they'll put you down, and whatever it might be. So that was what was that was. Dave, Boring Dave, as you put it, I would work with him, and that was, we were kind of friends through work. But as soon as we didn't work to each other, we barely spoke, right? So it was that kind of thing. So I'd never found my friendship group. And part of that is because I have five brothers, right? And when you've got five brothers who would die for you, you don't need friends. They're everything you need, you have in your family, because and that remains to this day, is that regardless of what happens to me, I know I've got five people there that will back me up in whatever situation I'm in, or if I need help, will provide it, or if need you know, anything, that they're there for me because they're my family, right? They're my blood. So I had that. So I didn't ever feel like I needed anything else. And actually, you were the first person that, outside of that, that broke that good mindset. But it was a subconscious mindset. It wasn't something it wasn't like I was not looking for friends. Just you come on, and you remember how quickly you were sort of incorporated into my brothers, my circle of brothers. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
And that wasn't easy, Rick. That didn't, like, as you've seen, some have tried in the past, and they were quite I don't think, again, because we had each other, it was a subconscious thing. No one was allowed in, basically, because other than, you know, you had workmates that came in, but as actually a part of it, no one really was allowed in on a subconscious level, because it was like, well, why am I going to spend time talking to you when I've got these guys to talk to? Anyway, you made it in, Rick.
I know. I am the chosen one, the lucky one.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing, obviously, spending the time in London with you and your brothers, and the escapades we
you
got to.
You could be annoying, Rick. And I'll tell you why. You could be annoying.
Why?
You'll remember this, and as soon as I begin to say it, you'll be like, oh, yeah. Fucking, okay. You was obsessed with how my brother Ryan dressed, and he did dress well.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of our relationship, You wouldn't stop fucking banging on about his winkle picker shoes and his pea coat that he had. And I get you liked it, but you would message me every single time we spoke, because I kept forgetting to ask him about where he got them from. You would like, ask your brother about those winkle pickers. Ask your brother about these winkle pickers. I fucking hell, Rick, you know what I'm like if I'm getting badgered. If I'm getting the last thing I want in my life is people that badger me or give me advice when it's not asked for, right? That's a failing in my character, but I can't get rid of it. You kept banging on about the winkle pickers and
I do. Wait, do you know where he got them from?
I can't remember. Do you remember?
Russell and Bromley.
Fuck it. Well, did you get some?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah. I did. I was going to say, do you remember that time when we were supposed to do it like a mandate to the London Aquarium?
Yeah.
And we went out early in the morning. It was pissing down with rain from the underground. So we were like, let's just run over to that pub opposite and we'll just hold up there until the rain blows over.
Yeah.
And as we got in there to have a pint, we like just bumped into your brother.
Ross.
It was Ryan.
Was it Ryan?
Yeah, it was Ryan. And then in the end, we fucked off going to London Aquarium.
It smells like beer and gear. Yeah. Is that what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. And then we went to Carnaby Street. God knows why we were there. And it was just a blur of a night. And I remember waking up and there was something on my legs. It's like, what the fuck is that? And there was a pair of Russell and Bromley shoes. I bought them.
Yeah.
don't remember any of it.
That was it. It was that randomness. That I remember specifically that day now. I haven't thought about that for years and years and years. Yeah, we're supposed to go to the aquarium. Just on that, can we go to the aquarium?
Yes,
I'd love to. Do you think the girls would be interested in it? If not,
I don't know if they would, but I'm pretty sure I'd just bin them off. It's for me anyway.
I'd definitely. Should we go?
Yeah, 100%.
We're saying London Aquarium more.
I mean, that's the best one, isn't it?
Probably.
We should do some research where the sharks are.
Skegness.
Who's got the most sharks?
Skegness.
Is it really?
Yeah, apparently that's like the biggest aquarium in the UK is in Skegness. The problem is though, you'd have to be in Skegness. It's an absolute hole of a place.
Yeah.
But they've got I've got a voucher, Rick. I've got a voucher to dive with the sharks in Skegness.
Have you really?
Yeah, the 2-hour dive training. Have I told you about it? Ollie bought it for me for Christmas. 2-hour dive training and then you go in the big tank and dive with them. But Skegness is a mileage from us. So literally it's a mission to get there. But
we should definitely do that.
I'd have me and you bobbing around in a massive fish tank. That would be quality.
I'm going to move on slightly.
Go on.
As you're saying, that is miles away from you. We live miles away from each other now. Do you think obviously the physicality of going to a boozer every fucking weekend and weekdays and the friendship and life we led back in London is vastly different to what we have now. With that dynamic changing, how do you feel? Is it still the same friendship as it always was? Is it, I mean, you can't say no, it's a bit more shit because
no, well, you had kids number one, and moved away, so like you and your wife basically ruined it by having kids. And
that
so
is true.
That isn't it true. So like we had such a great time. You had your flat in Crouch End, lovely flat, two bed, or was it one bed? And it was right on Crouch End Broadway. And we'd go back there 4 a.m. in the morning, just getting on it. It was a brilliant, brilliant place to just plot up. It was literally we would go for pints and stuff in Crouch End. And Crouch End back then was a quality little night out. No ag, it was really good. And we would be getting pissed up every Friday night. And then we'd walk through the off license, the only off license that was open in Crouch End, and we'd walk through it. And they knew us because they knew you, Rick, because you lived above their shop. So we'd just, without even talking, it was mental. We'd walk through their shop without even saying hello and just go into their back bit through the old bloke making tea and soup and shit who always seemed to be there. Regardless of every time of night, there was this old Turkish man who would just be making food in the back of this place. Open their massive door and go up to, it was almost like an unwritten rule that we allowed because you lived upstairs. And we'd go up there and until the light came up, we'd be like listening to music, chatting, having a laugh. And then your missus gets pregnant and ruins it all.
Yeah, she did ruin it, didn't she?
Well, you ruined it as well.
Don't blame it on me.
Well, why did you keep coming in her?
Why didn't you
come out of her?
It was after we got engaged, so it was the...
What did you think? Well, it's time to have a baby?
No, I didn't think, is it time to? She got caught up in the moment of being engaged and that headiness of, you know, young and in love.
You wasn't thinking, was
he? Wasn't thinking. I was thinking, and I knew exactly what was going to happen, but I didn't care at that time. I said, you know, it just doesn't happen to you, and then it does.
But, I mean, for like, you, as we know, it's world renowned how virile you are. Your potency.
I didn't understand at the time, but I do now.
Yeah. Just on the back. So it obviously changed, but it didn't as you grow older, you realize that you can't, like, the idea really of us now going out in London and just mentioned earlier about wanting to do it again, I want to go back to that life. I don't think I could do it. I wouldn't enjoy it in the same. It was of that time. We were a certain type of people there, and I don't think the idea of going and getting mashed in London now it's not something I'd want to do, because I've got older and I fear the come down. As I never, I felt like I was made of fucking Teflon back then, and nothing could stop me, and no amount of drugs and alcohol that I put in me would put me down, and I'd be able to rise the next day and just crack on. Whereas now, fuck, man, I'm scared of a pint now, Rick.
I can never handle my booze. I've never been able to handle my booze. It's just one of those things. And now, as I get into the later stage of my life, like, the hangovers go for 3-4 days. The anxiety is mad. So I would, free choice. Like, like when we met up for my birthday and the fighting cock social that we did, like, that's enough for, like, to last me a month, 6 weeks. Like, yeah. I've been there, and I was, like, pretty over the top, old Ricky style, getting pissed up then. And I don't want to do that again now. Never, but really.
So our relationship has changed in that respect, but it becomes more it becomes more intellectual, Ricky. It becomes more about the drugs and the alcohol back then. That was the basis of our friendship, right? And an actual friendship is lasted beyond that, and that's why we can legitimately call each other friends, right? Because, you know, it wasn't, there were so many people we met during that 3 or 4 year period that I loved, and I thought, this guy's amazing. I never not want to know this guy. I never want a world to exist where on a Friday night I don't meet this guy or this person. And we have a great time. There are tons of people that we met. I've been in houses of people I can't even remember their names now. I just remember their faces. And I thought that was never going to end. But it did, because we weren't friends. We just took drugs together.
Yeah.
Do you remember that actor's house? I can't remember his name now. Lived in Hornsey. He was in Band of Brothers and that. Just getting mangled in his beautiful flat. I can't even remember his name, and I've done all sorts in there.
I can't remember.
Dougie something.
Yeah.
don't say the surname.
But yeah,
I'm giving it away, haven't I? Exactly. Band of Brothers and Dougie. That's all you need to know, really.
Mate, what an amazing, amazing heady time. But I think, like, again, even though we're not in each other's pockets like we were back then, I still have that still best of mates, man.
Yeah,
still ring each other all the time.
I don't WhatsApp each other. Mate.
Do you know what that was going to be in my second part? I because I've said this to you a few times, right? And I've seen you kind of recoil a bit when I've said the word best mate, and you're like, I don't have best mates.
No, because we're not children anymore, Ricky. But mate, you say best mates all the time. So that makes me feel like I have to say it, and I'm disrespecting you if I don't say it.
That's okay. Well, I'm just trying to process this at the moment. So if you were to kind of say, okay, we'll just name each other
according to some
good mates, then. No, yeah, but then no, the thing is, if you say good mates to someone else, like, it puts us equal. I ain't fucking equal to them. No chance. Not a fucking chance.
It doesn't matter, Ricky. We don't have to put labels on this thing. We know, right? So that's all that matters. But you want a label, do you?
Right, no, we're going to end this. We'll end this part now because you're making me upset and I don't want to be upset on the first episode of our podcast. Right, if you're ready to spice up the chat, if you're listening and you want to send us a topic in to discuss, much like we've just discussed friends, send us an email at ladsanonpod@gmail.com. So that's one word, ladsanonpod@gmail.com. And also, if you could do us a great big favour, like this is a modern day digital gesture, like you would hold a door open for someone. It costs you nothing. It means everything to us. So can you give us a follow on our social platforms, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok? And the handle is ladsanonpod. Exactly the same as the email. Very simple. ladsanonpod. And if you see any of our posts, give us a like, a comment, engage with it. Don't leave us with our dicks in our hands, you know. Don't make us look like dickheads. We're going to quickly go over through some of the questions and topics, some of the questions that you've sent in, which are, well, I was going to say drum roll, but there is no drum roll. So is it acceptable for friends to date each other's exes? Can friends pay compliments to the attractiveness of your wife, girlfriend, or fella?
Okay.
Should friends always be brutally honest, even if someone might get hurt? Right, we're going to go to a quick ad and we'll be back for part two. Right, Flav, you had those questions beforehand. Let's go through the first one. Is it acceptable for friends to date each other's exes?
In my experience, no.
No.
No, because I'm coming from London and the pool of fish is greater than that in other areas. Like where I live now, which is a small town in the West Country, there's only so much, so many men and women, certainly a certain age. So there is naturally going to be this sort of incestuous nature to it all. But in London, I wouldn't rate it. No, I wouldn't like you banging a previous contact. I don't know, actually. I wouldn't mind because you're a nice guy. But if some of my mates and that, I just think, what do you think?
Well, why, first of all, why would you not mind me? Is it because you don't see that I'm a threat or that I'm like a good lover? Because I am.
No,
I'll put the time and effort
I've heard good things.
Where I sit on it is, I remember, like, I've got to be really fucking careful not to mention names and not to give too much kind of around the story, but someone I know dated someone for a couple of years. They broke up. Then that person's mate started dating that person and for a couple of years too. But every time the circle of friends met up, there was never this awkwardness or anything
there
like
wasn't.
That. Everyone was, no, there wasn't. Everyone was adults about it.
Yeah.
But inside, internally, in me, I was like, I could not be fucking having that.
It depends, like, if you've got an emotional connection.
You're breaking, breaking bread and having a pint with some geezer that's just giving your current missus some long strokes.
Yeah, but as I've got older, you have to, right? Because there were kids.
I don't have.
But if you broke up with your missus, right, and you met a new woman, naturally you're going to see each other because your kids are involved. You are going to. So you have to be an adult about it. You have to accept that this is for the sake of your sanity and for the kids. That you'll be confronted with someone who used to pork your missus, or is porking your missus. you just have to, right? So, but as a kid, growing up, if you had an emotional connection with that person, it is difficult. It would be difficult, but as so many relationships break down now, luckily you've been with your other half for so long, through so many years, it's different. But for the vast majority of people, when you're breaking up, your parents are getting divorced or whatever it might be, confronting someone who used to be your partner, you know, who's now with someone else is difficult. But in a friendship group, you might want to look at whether or not it's going to have a massive impact on your friendship. If you want to start a relationship with someone that person used to. But I think generally, as a rule of thumb, like, I would never, with your missus,
yeah,
like, we were friends. I would consider her a friend.
Yeah.
At no point in any world did I ever look at her and thought, yeah, go on then, fancy a bit of that. because she was yours, Rick, right? And it never,
yeah,
that, it's almost like my brother's wives, a date. Like, I never look at them in any way, because your brain, your subconscious, mine does at least, says, yeah, no, that's that it never enters my brain, and it never has. I guarantee it.
That actually leads on to the second question quite nicely. Can friends pay compliments to the attractiveness of someone's wife, girlfriend, fella, whoever it may be?
If you're truly true friends, then you can, yeah.
You reckon you can?
Yeah, if you said my wife, Ollie, she's a fit or attractive, I would have no issue with that. I think it shows something about your insecurity if you said fit, that's different. If you said your wife's beautiful, Ollie's beautiful, that's
exactly.
That's fine.
Because then in my mind,
banging.
Yeah.
I'd love to smash your wife. That's different.
That's what's going on in my head. Like, if someone says, "Oh, you," like, if they're pretty, beautiful, okay, that's cool. But if someone says, like, "Oh, your wife's well fit," or like, "Or you're punching, mate," you know that they're thinking, I'd love to have a go on
Yeah,
that.
But they're not your friends, I don't think. Your friends, I would never say that to you, Rick. I would never say that to you. And people that do say that to you is like, what are you doing? Firstly, would your friends want to break you down in that way? Oh, you're punching. So you're digging me out, and you're fantasizing about my missus. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
None of our mates in our circle, in terms of the fighting cock and whatnot, I'd be surprised if any one of them would say anything like that.
Yeah, that is. I think you're right in the context and the words that you're saying. Because I listened to Theo Von's pod the other day,
yeah,
and he was saying, "Oh, well, I met your friend, the comedian, and I met his wife, and she was a pretty little thing, hey." And I was just like, it just sounded a bit like.
But they're not friends, are they? They're doing a podcast to each other.
I know, but it just sounded a bit weird. And I think I would, because it just sounded a bit like perving on her, and like,
yeah, like, that's what's happening.
That's my wife. That's my wife. Like, what are you saying?
You must acknowledge that men look at women and it's not. It's the nature of it, right? It's the natural order of things, that men look at women.
Of course I do. I'm a filthy pig. I am a filthy pig. And I think that about everyone.
Women are not married? They're not in relationships?
Well, I know. It's true, but I wouldn't say it out loud to their mates.
Internally.
I'd keep that shit to myself. That's not a... I wouldn't even share that with mates. And then I'm going to go on to the last question.
Good.
Which is, should friends always be brutally honest, even if it may hurt the other person?
No.
Well, we're going to agree on that one.
Yeah.
No, why did you say? Well, like, even if you know it's going to be really hurtful, but it's going to be beneficial in the long run, would you say, or would you be like?
No, I would gauge my response or my way of dealing it based on how I think you might take it, and give you the information in a way that I think would be one that you would be able to cope with. But just ripping the band-aid off isn't always the best course of action, is it? Sometimes you have to add some sort of warm water to the band-aid and gently peel it off. Yeah, how do I avoid Ricky screaming and crying? Sometimes add a bit of soapy water to it might help. Yeah, no, blunt honesty is bullshit. It's an absolute bullshit. You know,
totally.
You got these people, and then it's typically people of a somewhat limited intelligence. And I don't give a shit if that's offensive. Like, you're thick if you think it's okay to say anything you like just because you're being honest. Sorry, I'm just being honest. That person makes me feel sick. Look at the state of their face. It's disgusting. Sorry, I'm just being honest. I honestly want to run you over.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I like at when you're at work in work meetings and they are and they go off on one and I'm just being honest. I'm just like, there is a time to be honest and there is a way to say things to people or to bring information, ideas or whatever across. And even if it's to mate and you know that a mate is cheating or they're doing whatever it is, you wouldn't just come across and be like, oh, by the way, I saw what's his name fucking some other bird or some other geezer. Like, you'd be like, is everything okay? Like, have you noticed any you know, I don't know.
A case in point, Rick, would be that, you know, that Shits and Gigs pod.
Yeah, yes,
they,
I
they
do
were on Chunks and Philly, and I don't know if it was a bit that they made up, but he went on that podcast and told his friend that he knows that his girlfriend's cheating on him live on a podcast.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is that
yeah,
is that
I
real?
Saw that.
So he
I don't know.
They went on a pod. Their relationship is one that is on camera all the time, and they've gone on another podcast and says, by the way, can I tell you something? This is to his friend. I know, I've had it from two sources that your girlfriend's cheating on you live on a podcast on one of the biggest podcasts in the UK. Like, what is that? What is that?
That is.
I would never, ever, ever dream of not even doing it to you. I wouldn't do it to another human being I didn't even know or like. I wouldn't do that. It was weird. Check it out on TikTok.
It has to
free
be a bit
weird.
It has to be a bit to get the to gain the system, get more likes,
so
views,
that,
whatever.
Because
is that
friendship then? Is it? If unless they
no,
agree to do
I mean,
it. That, is that friendship? That's not something I would do ever.
No.
Scumbag behaviour, I think.
It is. Right. I'm going to wrap this up. If you still listen to Lads Anonymous, thank you very much indeed. Hugely appreciate it. If you want to give us more feedback or anything, let us know on our email and through our social channels.
I'm not reading any feedback.
I don't want any feedback.
I don't want you then going to me, Flav, there's been some feedback on the podcast. Shove it up your asses. I don't want to read it. Don't like it. I don't react well to it.
I will take it. I will drink it in. I will hold it close to midnight.
But I reckon I'll be able to tell. Ricky, have you had some feedback? Have you been reading feedback? Is that why you've... What's different about you? You've been reading feedback, haven't you?
Sprightly today. What are you doing?
I'll read that feedback. I want that feedback. That's good. Just don't give me the bad feedback. I don't want to see that.
Right. Okay, no bad feedback for you. But can you please subscribe on Apple Podcasts? Can you follow on Spotify? Wherever it is that you get your pods, if you are kind enough in your heart to give us a 5-star rating, to leave a good review, to follow it, all the good stuff, so that we can build a little lovely community.
Mate,
of our circle of trust of Lads Anonymous.
So huge to that reviewing and rating is massively important, especially for a new podcast. So if you enjoyed this in any way, or you like the fighting cock, then please leave a review and rate it in wherever you get your podcast, and yeah, just give us more exposure, really.
Yeah, just help us. Just be nice. Be kind. Yeah. Just do that for us. And until then, we will see you next week.
Ream.
Autumn night, hazy light. Band of brothers playing tunes high as kites. Midnight waves surfing through till daylight breaks. Rhythm hit us different ways. Love and music's how we prayed. With our tongues in cheek, banter's how we like to speak. And yeah, times change, but no matter what, the bond remains. Brothers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.